Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Finds the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes! Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure, Brady's chased, Brady heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, a jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now, here's your host, John Schmelt.
Big Blue Kickoff live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. The NFL draft is finally here. It seems like we've been preparing for this for about 3 months, but finally tonight at Radio City Music Hall, we'll find out who the Giants' first-round pick is going to be at number 32. And to talk about it, we're joined by Om Young-Masuk from ESPNNewYork.com. Does a great job covering the Giants. Om, good morning. How are you? Are you psyched?
Hey. Happy draft day.
Yeah, happy draft day indeed. Are you finally excited this day is here so we can stop, you know, basically taking names out of a hat for who's going to be on the board at 32?
Man, you know what? ESPN New York made me do a 7-round mock draft for the Giants, and it was like throwing darts with blindfolded. You know, I mean, there's just no way to know who they're going to take, what's going to happen, who's going to drop to them. I mean, it's just impossible.
Well, we're going to try to do the impossible right now because that's why we're here. So at 32, where do you think the Giants are going to be able to find the most value in terms of position? Where do you think the best talent is going to be when they pick at number 32?
I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, they wouldn't mind. I know Giants fans may not want to hear this, but I think if a defensive end like Quinton Coples or Whitney Mercilus or Chandler Jones were to drop to them, I think they would be pretty happy with that. I think they do. They've been in touch with the Alabama cornerback, Dre Kirkpatrick. I talked to him yesterday when a bunch of the draft prospects were in the city. And he thought and said that Jerry had said to him, well, if we were going to get you, we probably got to trade up to get him. But I just saw a report, I think it was last night on Pro Football Talk, said that Drake or Patrick could be dropping. So if he were to drop to the Giants, maybe the Giants end up taking him there. I think they like Dante Hightower. They brought him in for a visit as well. And Dante had said yesterday when I asked him, he said, if I'm there at 32, he thinks the Giants would take him. So I think if any of those guys dropped to them, they'd be pretty happy. And if not, then the value could be wide receiver. Georgia Tech's Stephen Hill might not be there, but I think he might be on the Giants' radar as well as LSU's Reuben Randall. So perhaps they could get a guy that they think could help replace Mario Manningham at 32, unless a really good defensive player drops to them.
All right, well, let's talk about the defensive ends and pass rushers first that you talked about. Obviously, if Quinton Coples drops to 32, I think we'll see Jerry Reese doing cartwheels down the hallway outside the auditorium at the Timex Performance Center. Putting him aside, how do you break down between you mentioned Whitney Mercilus, you mentioned Nick Perry, and you mentioned, of course, I think Andre Branch has a chance to be there, Chandler Jones from Syracuse. How do you differentiate between these guys? Or is it simply a matter of whichever one is left, he's going to be the one that's highest in the Giants draft board?
Not necessarily. I don't know if the Giants like Nick Perry. I'm not too sure about that. But, you know, I think, like, if you're right. I mean, I don't think Quinton Coples is going to come anywhere near there. Chandler Jones is supposed to be long gone as well. Hightower might not make it past the Steelers at 24. Kirkpatrick would be interesting if he somehow dropped. I think all those guys are going to be gone. I did a SportsCenter mock draft where, you know, ESPN kind of asked all these local beat writers in each city to make a mock draft, and virtually everybody I mentioned was gone. So I ended up picking Clemson's Andre Branch because, Kobe Fleener was still on the board, and so was Boise State running back Doug Martin. You know, a lot of people like those two guys for the Giants. I don't see the Giants, perhaps I'm wrong tonight, I don't see the Giants taking a tight end. From the people I've talked to, they said that they didn't think the Giants were going to take Kobe Fleener in the first round.
Yeah, you
know,
I know
that disappoints a lot of Giants fans.
Yeah, I know, and I happen to agree with you, only because Fleener's not the type of tight end that the Giants want. Coach Coughlin, as you well know, needs his tight ends to be able to block, and Kobe Fleener has not exactly shown that skill in his time at Stanford.
It would be awesome, you know, if they were to pick him, that they would use a pass-catching tight end like that, maybe, you know, in a Jimmy Graham type of way where you could, like, spread them out and see what defense is doing, but the Giants just don't do that. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, they used their tight ends right. They wanted them to be well-rounded. I mean, they didn't use Travis Beckham as much as I sometimes want to see them use him, you know. But I guess he doesn't block maybe the way they want. I'm not really sure about that. But I think the value for them would be taking another position rather than tight end in the first round.
Now, you mentioned Doug Martin, too. I happen to think he's a great fit as a complement to Ahmad Bradshaw. But like you, I just don't think the value at running back is there at 32. You can find the guy later on in the draft that maybe might not be as good as Doug Martin, but can give you close to the same production, making that a wiser selection.
I agree. I'd like to see him. I'm like the fans. You know, you kind of get intrigued by offensive talent, and you hear things in comparison to, like, Ray Rice and things like that, and you start thinking, wow, it'd be pretty cool to have, like, a Ray Rice type of back there with Ahmad Bradshaw. But, yeah, I think the Giants probably look at it again, like they could probably get a running back later in the later rounds. And as I was doing this mock draft, I think I've been brainwashed by Jerry Reese. I'm all in on the philosophy of best player available because – I kept telling myself I need to take a running back here, but I also keep telling myself that Giants don't take based on need. You know, like yesterday I was getting a lot of tweets about this Andre Branch pick that I did for SportsCenter, and everybody was like, they don't need a defensive end. And I kept thinking to myself, need is the wrong word to mention with the Giants. You know, they're going to take the best player available, and what's the best time to absolutely do that? When you're coming off the Super Bowl, you know, because you just want to add on and stockpile talent. And, you know, defensive end is not a bad pick if they were to pick one because we don't know what's going to happen with OC. I think Mathias Kiwanuka is entering the final year of his deal. Tuck will be up after next season. Dave Tolleson's gone. They could use another defensive end. They could probably use another defensive tackle as well. I know they got Marvin Austin coming back, but Rocky Bernard remains unsigned. And, you know, you always got to keep an eye for the future like Jerry Reese does, and they're very good at doing that.
I can still remember Giant fans all annoyed and up in arms when they selected Jason Pierre-Paul a couple years ago, and I guess that turned out pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, you really cannot complain with the way the Giants draft. I understand, like, fans may say, well, like last year they wanted an offensive lineman, and I think this year a lot of fans wanted an offensive lineman as well. They saw that they finished last in rushing last year. In the regular season, I think they want to see the offensive line get younger, more athletic, and I'm sure Jerry Reese is all for this, but they're just not going to force the pick. And the only one thing I would say, Jerry Reese did say in his press conference that after 15, he thinks that from 15 to 32, a lot of these guys have the same value. And you tend to wonder that, let's say five of those guys or four of those guys are there at 32, would the Giants then trade down and perhaps think that they could get one of those guys a little bit later, you know? So I wonder if that could potentially happen tonight.
I agree. I think there's a much better chance that the Giants could trade down. Is there any chance you think they might trade up if there's a guy dropping? Maybe a Quinton Coples is there at 25 or 26, and that gets Jerry Reese excited. Any chance he tries to move up? I'm not talking 15 spots, but I'm talking 5 or 6 spots to get a guy that might be an outlier on their board, like Prince Amukamara was last year, where someone's so highly rated, he's there, they have to have him.
I wonder, you know, like if Hightower or Coples or Chandler Jones were to get close. But I also think that Jerry Reese does value his picks a lot. So he would have to give up something, not a lot, but he would have to give up something to move up a few spots. And sometimes the Giants just kind of let guys just drop to them and see what happens, you know?
Yeah, you mentioned offensive line, too, Om. I want to touch on that with you before you say goodbye. We're joined by Om Young-Masuk from ESPNNewYork.com. What's the chances you think the Giants take an offensive lineman with that 32nd pick? There should be a few tackles still left on the board. Bobby Massey's one guy. Mike Adams has a ton of talent. We know about his off-the-field problems. And then you have even a guy like, you know, Cordy Glenn. He's been dropping, and a bunch of other guys have been dropping on the boards as well. What do you think the chances are the Giants go O-line there?
I think it's a possibility. You know, I saw NFL Network's Mike Mayock had Jonathan Martin from Stanford as mm-hmm. his pick there. You know, and I think Mayock knows the Giants pretty well. So, you know, I think that would be an interesting pick. And, you know, then you would have a guy that could immediately compete at right tackle. And you could keep David Deal inside, I guess, if you wanted to. It just gives you more options. I guess it all depends on, to me, you know, if a really good defensive player is there, I think they look at him. Wide receiver, I know a lot of Giants fans aren't happy about taking a wide receiver in the first round, I guess, because they feel that they have enough. Hakeem Nicks and Victor Cruz, but I do think when you have another third receiving threat there for Eli, that has worked very well, that formula for them. So, and perhaps they don't know yet, you know, you don't know what you're going to get with Ramsey Barton and Jarrell Jernigan, and maybe they're looking ahead toward the future by getting, you know, a good wide receiver if the value's there.
Do you think a trade with OTU Manure will happen at some point before the end of the weekend?
To be honest with you, I would be a little surprised. I just think that the Giants, it's in the Giants' best interest, not in OTU's best interest, but in the Giants' best interest to hold on to him. I think that, you know, I have a feeling that we're going to go through the same thing we did last summer with OC again. We talked to him yesterday, and he doesn't see how the Giants could pay him and give him an extension with so many other young guys that they need to take care of down the road, with Victor Cruz, Hakeem Nicks, Jason Pierre-Paul. Tuck's contract will be up, you know, after next season, so he didn't think there was any way he could get the extension that he wants. And he may be right, but I just think that he's been so important for the Giants, and he's under contract, you know, and I think the Giants want to give him the extension to what they want to give him, and it may not be what OC wants, and we're going to have to find out, I guess, at this point. I don't think anybody's going to come down and say we're offering a number one for OCU Manure.
A three,
is what the Giants want, but they couldn't get it last year, remember? They let OC and his agent go shopping for a first-round pick, and they couldn't get it. So I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't see the Giants accepting a third-round pick for him, this weekend, but maybe it will happen. Who knows?
Do you think this plays out differently, or is it going to be the same tough talk out of OC after training camp's over and he doesn't have to go up to Albany anymore? He'll show up here at the Timex Performance Center for the third preseason game and all will be well. Or is he more serious now in the last year of his contract, and is there a real chance of him missing regular season games?
That's a really good question, and I could see OC making it worse than last year. Now, he did miss the first 2 weeks, or he skipped the first 2 weeks of practices. He was in the building, and then he came back for, three? You know, then he was allowed to seek a trade for, like, 1 or 2 days. Then they took the permission back, and then he came back for 3 practices. His knee swelled up, and he opted for minor knee surgery. Then he didn't come back till week 3. So if we say he's going to do worse than that, then that would mean he would probably skip all the training camp, and he would miss some games. And OC probably looks at it like he has nothing to lose. You know what I mean? I think he's gotten to the point where he feels like I think his quote yesterday was, what am I supposed to do, come back with my tail between my legs and, you know, basically just do it, you know, come back and do whatever they want me to do, or do I take a stand for the first time? And I think he's finally entering the last year of his deal, so maybe he does feel like he's got nothing to lose. He's got a long time to think about what he's going to do, so he's not, you know, the thing about that I need to tell fans is, OC is not, like, totally upset and screaming at reporters or anything like that. He's, you know, always his calm, cool, nice self, but he's frustrated. You know, he's frustrated with his situation. He still goes out of his way to say that he loves the Giants, and it would be ideal if he could stay, but he also is trying to be realistic and thinks that he's not going to get an extension that he wants.
All right, final question before we say goodbye. I'm going to make you make a choice here. Who do the Giants take at number 32 tonight?
I guess I'll go with my second mock draft that I did recently, and I said wide receiver Reuben Randall from LSU because, like I said, I think if any of those guys that I said, Copel, Chandler, Merciless, Kirkpatrick, or Hightower drop to 32, the Giants would be happy with any one of those guys. But I don't think those guys will be there. I think they'll be off the board. So, and also, I'm sorry, Georgia Tech's Stephen Hill, the wide receiver. I think he could be an option, but I don't think he'll be there as well. So I have LSU's Reuben Randall.
Great stuff. I appreciate the time. Thanks a lot, and enjoy the draft tonight. It's going to be a long one, waiting for the Giants to come up at number 32.
All right, thank you.
Have a good one. That's Om Young-Masuk, ESPNNewYork.com. Does a great job covering the New York Giants. We thank him for joining us. Now, we got a busy show, folks. We're going to have Dave Spadaro from PhiladelphiaEagles.com. He's going to join us, get a little insight on what they're going to do. We're trying to get somebody up from the Cowboys as well. And also, I talked to Ross Tucker yesterday afternoon, and we got some good draft stuff for him as well on some of the guys the Giants might take at number 32. So keep staying tuned, and we have a lot of stuff coming up on the draft as the Giants go take number 32 tonight. And we'll figure out who they take and who the newest member of the New York Giants is going to be. 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. That's your phone number. You can also send in questions to hashtag GiantsChat. And obviously, this is a day a lot of people have been waiting for, and Giants.com has this thing covered backwards and forwards. I'm sure you've been seeing all the draft top fives, the draft prospects at each position over the last week or so. We've been popping them up on Giants.com. Also, Factor Fiction has been draft-related the last couple of weeks. Eisen's Mailbag will come your way later on today. That'll be a draft edition of the Mailbag. Michael Eisen and myself will be doing that. Of course, we have our special draft night show coming up tonight. It's going to be on MSG Plus. So make sure you check that out after the Ranger game's over, after the Devils game is over. Make sure you go to MSG or MSG Plus. We start at 11 o'clock. It'll be Bob Papa. It'll be Carl Banks. It'll be Imani Toomer. It'll be Anita Marks. I will be at Radio City Music Hall. We will cover that Giants draft backwards and forwards and get you all the possible information that you need. 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. And again, the Giants are an organization that's going to take the best player available regardless of position. Now, I'm going to say quarterback, punter, and kicker, take those out and throw them out, because I don't think the Giants are obviously going to go punter or kicker in the first round, and I don't think they're going to – while they might want a young backup quarterback to groom behind Eli Manning, I don't believe that they are going to spend a first-round pick to get that quarterback, whether it's a Brock Osweiler or someone like that. So I think regardless of those two positions, they could go in any other direction, and that's what the New York Giants can do at number 32 when they pick in the NFL draft tonight. A lot going down here at the Timex Performance Center as the Giants scouts. It's funny, I saw a couple scouts yesterday. I saw Mark Ross yesterday. Jerry Reese is kind of chatting with them in the cafeteria. And folks, the draft board's done. So if you have any worries about, you know, Jerry, you know, Mark Ross and Jerry Reese and the scouts, you know, panicking, trying to get their board in order and who the Giants are going to pick, now it's a wait-and-see proposition. You should have seen the smiles on these guys' faces yesterday. They were quite happy to have everybody figured out on where the Giants are going to go with their draft pick tonight. But they have to wait and see. Watching those first 31 guys go off the board is not going to be easy. It's simply not going to be easy because you don't know who's going to be there at number 32 as the Giants figure out who they are going to take with their pick tonight. And a lot of people think they're going to go defense, considering the defensive ranking last year was not very strong. But if you take a look at it, and in my opinion, the Giants defense played a lot better in the playoffs last year. That's number one. And I think the front office thinks that is much more telling as to the talent on the defensive side of the ball. In terms of and also, remember, they used their first two picks defensively, Prince Amukamara and Marvin Austin last year. So, you know, those are guys that the Giants as well have coming back this year. Terrell Thomas returns from injury this year. So those are all things that the Giants have coming up this year on the defensive side of the ball where they'll get help. So if they go a little bit more offensive in this draft, I wouldn't be surprised. Remember, they lost Mario Manningham. They lost Brendan Jacobs. Cream McKenzie's not coming back. They're getting a little older on the offensive line. There are different ways the Giants can go, but I think it might be a more offensive-oriented draft than a defensive-oriented draft, which is kind of contrary to what a lot of the popular thought out there is in Giants land. 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Giants.com right here, John Schmelk. Send in your questions to hashtag GiantsChat. As the Giants pick number 32 tonight at Radio City Music Hall on Giants.com. Big show coming up the rest of the way. We're going to have Dave Spadaro from PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Mickey Spagnuolo from DallasCowboys.com as well will be joining us. And obviously, you just heard from Om Yongmasuk some very good stuff. He thinks, and he really talked about some different options that we haven't heard from some of the draft experts that we've talked to so far today. And the options I thought were interesting that, you know, maybe a wide receiver. He thinks maybe a pass rusher. Those are all possibility for the Giants here coming up at number 32. So it'll be very interesting to see where the Giants decide to go with that pick when they get there. I think an offensive lineman might be a little bit more likely. I think a pass rush is certainly a possibility just because there are a lot of guys if these mock drafts and the analysts are right, that could be available with relatively equal talent in that range when the Giants pick at number 32. I think that's a possibility. I don't think the Giants will go wide receiver or running back at 32. That's just my opinion. Again, I don't know what they're thinking upstairs, but that's what my thought process is. And basically, that's where we are here as the Giants prepare for the NFL draft coming up tonight. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. John Schmelke with you right here on Giants.com. And very exciting as the Giants get ready for the NFL draft. Also, you can check us out on Twitter at hashtag GiantsChat. I had a chance yesterday to catch up with Ross Tucker. He's the co-host of the opening drive on Sirius NFL Radio with Bob Papa every morning from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. And I had a chance to chat with Ross about the NFL draft.
What position do you think will have the most value for the Giants at spot number 32 in the draft?
Oof, that's a good question. You know what I would tell you is that I really believe that the three positions that are most important to the Giants, I think there's going to be quality candidates at all three of them, and that's offensive tackle, tight end, as well as running back. I mean, at tight end, I think Kobe Fleener, I think there's a pretty good chance that he'd still be there. And at offensive tackle, I think we're going to see a drop, whether it's Jonathan Martin or Mike Adams from Ohio State or Riley Reiff. I think some of these guys that people previously thought were going to go top 10, top 15, top 20, I think they're going to drop. Now, that's the good news for the Giants. The bad news is they're dropping for a reason. If you talk with people in the league, and they're not as high on Reeves and Mike Adams and Jonathan Martin as other people, or at least maybe as the mock drafts were earlier in sort of the draft season. And then at running back, I think there's a bunch of good possibilities.
The offensive tackles that might be available for the Giants at number 32. Why don't you break down some of these guys for me? You got Bobby Massey, a guy that I know is rising on a lot of people's draft boards. Then you mentioned Jonathan Martin, Mike Adams. And then, of course, you have Cordy Glenn, who I know some people think will eventually be a guard in the league.
Yeah, well, Cordy Glenn is a physical phenom. I mean, he's like 350 pounds, and he ran a sub-5 flat 40. Struggled at times last year at Georgia playing left tackle. Everybody says inside, I could see him being a really good, dominant right tackle. I think a lot of times at the right tackle, you're looking for a guy with good feet, but a guy that can really be a hammer in the run game. But I think Cordy can be exactly that. You know, if he's good enough to have some good games at left tackle in the SEC, I think he can play right tackle in the NFL. Riley Reiff is a guy that people are a little bit concerned with, his arm length and whether or not he's truly a gifted player. I think he's a guy that's ready to plug in at right tackle and give you sort of a yeoman's job as well. So I think both those guys are really good candidates for the Giants, to compete with James Brewer. And you know what? I still think that both of those guys could play left tackle in a pinch as well. Jonathan Martin, the book on him has been he's got the natural physical ability, but he didn't always play up to it, and that maybe he's a little bit soft and maybe not nearly as strong as you'd like him to be. Probably the guy that's most ready to be plugged in at left tackle and get the job done for you, John, is Mike Adams, but I would stay away from him. Now, maybe you think you're getting a lot of value to get his talent at 32, but to me, he's got three rather sizable red flags. I mean, the first one is he was suspended the first 5 games of the year for the whole thing, which I don't have a big issue with right now. But what I do have an issue with, he only got 15 bench press reps, which is a huge, huge issue. Because to me, that's a work ethic issue. That's not even a strength issue. It's just, what have you been doing at Ohio State for 4 years if you've got that sort of a work ethic issue? And then how about the fact that he tested positive for marijuana at the combine? I really don't even care that much that he smokes marijuana. I just care that he knew he was going to get tested, and he still tested positive. I mean, that's an intelligence issue, and then that becomes a real, real big problem. Because if he couldn't stop smoking pot for something as important as the combine, is he going to ever stop doing it in the league?
No, it's a great point. And the one guy you didn't mention I want to get your take on is Bobby Massey out of Mississippi, Ross. What's your take on him? And a lot of people have him rising towards the front end of that second round of the draft.
Yeah, really good feet. I mean, that's the thing. You know, he's got really good feet. He's athletic, and that's what you're looking for. But it's always funny. I mean, last year the guy that came out of nowhere was James Carpenter from Alabama, and he went number 25 to the Seahawks. And he wasn't in anybody's mock draft round one ever. That might be Bobby Massey this year.
How about the tight end position? You mentioned Colby Fleener. A, do you think he's going to be on the board when the Giants pick at 32? A lot of people have him going to San Francisco. And is he enough of a two-way tight end? You know, the Giants like to have their tight ends block to fit in the Giants and Tom Coughlin system.
I think that's a fair question. I don't know if he'll be there. I think that there's a pretty good chance that he'll be there, but I wouldn't be surprised if somebody grabs him. You know, with his size, running what he did, everybody's looking for the next Jimmy Graham, you know, Rob Gronkowski. And I don't think he's either one of those guys, but he does have some unique physical trait for a guy at that position. In terms of whether or not he's a fit for the Giants, that's a good question. You know, especially with Ballard and Beckham being out, I think he'd be, I would call him a good complement to Bear Pasco and Martellus Bennett, because I don't think either one of those guys has the ability to stretch the field. You know, you're kind of a bigger, more reliable Travis Beckham, really, when you look at the type of speed and athleticism that Kobe possesses.
Do you think 32 in round one is too early to target a guy like Doug Martin, who I think would be a great complement to what Ahmad Bradshaw brings to the field?
Not at all. I mean, you listen to Mike Mayock and those guys, and they're talking about him, you know, going into 20. I mean, he's a complete back. I've heard him compared to Ray Rice. And let's be honest, the Giants like to be balanced. He's pretty good pass protection. He's pretty good catching the ball out of the backfield. And, I mean, who knows? I mean, you follow the Giants more closely than I do, but I swear it feels like Ahmad Bradshaw has surgery on his both of his feet every other week.
It does.
I don't know what the deal is there. And, you know, you got to think that as tough as Ahmad is, I love his running style. You know, he's like a galloping horse when he gets going in the out, you know, in the open field. I love sort of his gait. But he's got to be a ticking time bomb with these speed issues.
We're joined by Ross Tucker from Sirius NFL Radio, hosts the opening drive with Bob Papa every morning from 7 to 11 a.m. on Sirius NFL Radio. Ross, it's funny, the Giants really won the Super Bowl a lot with their offense this year. They were ranked 27th in the league in defense, yet all these guys we're talking about for the potential first-round pick here have been on the offensive side of the ball. Let's switch to defense. We know the Giants are never shy about taking pass rushers. It's their focus of their defensive attack. What pass rushers do you think might be available at 32 that can play that 4-3 defensive end position, play the run, and rush the passer at the same time?
Well, if you believe some of the people out there, you know, they'll tell you that Quentin Coples is falling. I would highly doubt.
That's a long
that
drop.
Yeah, exactly. But I've seen some mocks and some people say that they wouldn't be surprised if he fell into the second round.
Damn.
If you're just basing it on his 2011 tape, you know, his senior year footage. Other than that, you know, I don't want to say that there's nobody that is worthy of that pick, but the reality is that if you're a pretty good pass rusher as a defensive end, you're not going to still be there at 32.
I agree.
You know, somebody's going to take you higher. I mean, now, you know, you get guys that go see you when you're in the second round, and maybe there's a small school guy that I'm not aware of or someone like that that they might be able to snag, but for the most part, everybody's looking for those guys. So there's a guy that clearly looks at. Now, I will tell you this, though, John. I mean, if Courtney Upshaw falls, like people say, I think the Giants should consider him. I don't care if you think he's more of a 3-4 outside backer. He's plenty big enough. He's 275 pounds. He's 6'1.5", so think about how thick he is, how powerful he is. And everybody says, well, he doesn't run a great 40 time. Well, I mean, I don't care. I mean, what was Justin Tuck's 40 time coming out?
That's true.
You know, Lamar Woodley went in the second round because he didn't run a great 40 time, but he was that explosive. You know, a big part of rushing the passer is just being tenacious and is being physical. Deshaun does. I mean, he brings. I love that guy. And I don't think there's any way he's there at 32 for the Giants, even though a lot of people are starting to project that.
Ross, before we say goodbye, I want to touch on a couple other hot-button issues with the draft. One, where does Ryan Tannehill end up going? Does a team trade up to get this guy, or does he fall into the Dolphins' lap? We fear now that maybe that's a smokescreen. They may not take him. Where do you think he eventually ends up tomorrow night?
I'd be very, very surprised if he does not go in the top 10. And, in fact, I'd be surprised if he doesn't go number 8 to the Dolphins. I can't see how they pass him up, given their current situation.
Where do the Browns go, you think? Are they going to take Richardson?
Yeah, I think the Browns take Richardson at 4. I think that they take a wide receiver or an offensive tackle at 22. And I think that they take Brandon Weeden at the top of round 2.
I agree. I think that's a good move for them. NFC East teams, let's hit them real quick before we say goodbye. Dallas Cowboys at 14. Most people have Mark Barron there going to them. But now I'm seeing in the most recent mocks, people have him going off the board at 8, 9, or 10. Do you think Barron gets to the Cowboys at 14?
No, I think he'll go before that. I think they'll have to get somebody else, maybe just a corner. But they got Brandon Carr at free agency. I don't think they want it to be a corner. I wouldn't be surprised if they rolled the dice on one of the big defensive linemen, Michael Brockers from LSU or Don Terry Poe from Memphis, to be able to spell Jay Ratliff a little bit.
Now, Poe's a bit of a risk here. He didn't have a lot of production in Memphis. Who do you like better, Brockers or Poe?
I like Brockers. I think he is already consistent against the run, and he's young. I mean, he's redshirt sophomore. You got to show him how to pass rush a little bit.
Can he play nose tackle in a 3-4, or will he be a 3-4 defensive end?
Yeah, I think he can. I think he can. I think he is a 3-4 nose tackle.
How about the Eagles at 15? What do they do?
You know what? They probably take whoever the Cowboys don't. Honestly, I mean, I think they go D-line as well, given their current situation. Because I think that Jim Washburn looks at both those guys as being talented, defensive linemen that he can work with, that got all the natural physical ability, and he believes he can turn them into stars.
Ross, finally, I'm going to put you on the spot before we say goodbye. Who do the Giants wind up at number 32 tomorrow night in the NFL draft?
Let's say Doug Martin, running back, Boise State. When I talked to John Merrill on SiriusXM NFL Radio a couple weeks ago, I could tell he wasn't happy that we pulled him out of the running back meeting. So that's my only clue, so I'm going to go with that. The fact that he didn't want to be pulled out of that meeting tells me the running backs are important to him. Which tells me if a guy like Martin's there, and he just might be, I think they pulled the trigger on him.
That's Ross Tucker from SiriusXM NFL Radio. He's with Bob Papa every morning from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. on the NFL station. Ross, great stuff. We appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
All right, that's Ross Tucker. Does a great job every morning on SiriusXM NFL Radio. And now, before we say goodbye on today's show, we're going to go around the NFC East a little bit. The Redskins are no surprise. You know they're going to go Robert Griffin III, so I'm not going to waste your time on that. But we will talk about the Cowboys and the Eagles. And for Dallas, we go to our good friend Mickey Spagnuolo. He writes for DallasCowboys.com, does a lot of stuff, too, on the radio for them down there. Mickey, good morning. How's everything going down there in Big D?
So far, so good, but it's only 9:30 in the morning. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we got a long way to go before the draft. Where do you think the Cowboys go at 14? Most people think they're going to try to get Mark Barron, but at least in the most recent mock drafts I've seen, people have Barron going off the board as early as 7. Some have him going to the Jaguars at 8. You have some going to 10 in some drafts, to the Chiefs at 11. Do you think Barron falls to the Cowboys at 14, and do you think that's the guy they're actually targeting?
I don't know that they're really targeting anybody in particular at this point. Now, obviously, they haven't tipped their hand, but, John, they've got so many different ways they can go, and there's going to be, I think, at 14, if they indeed stay there, probably a group of players that they can be very flexible with and take, and I'm not sure they could take a position and somebody would say, well, that was crazy. They didn't need that. Now, you may not agree with the person they took at that position, but I think from a position standpoint, they have a lot of flex. So that's why it's very hard, I think, to just pinpoint and say, here's the guy. To me, it's very hard to say, okay, it's Mark Barron. And I know what happens in these mock drafts. The people that are looking, they look at the Cowboys' needs and they say, well, they need a safety, so they got to take a safety. Well, what if the safety doesn't fit into what you really need? because, in truth, Gerald Sensabaugh is a strong safety who was forced to play free last year. And I'm not sure how well that worked out, and I think they would like to return him to strong safety. Well, I don't know. I have not told anybody that Mark Barron is a center field cover sideline to sideline safety. He seems to be more of a box safety. And if that's the case, then unfortunately for me, now I don't know what they're thinking, for me, that scares me because I envision Roy Williams, who couldn't cover a lick, and in this league, they teams of offenses will figure out how to get that guy in single coverage, which is the reason why Roy Williams was no longer with the Cowboys. So I think Mark Barron's a more willing coverage guy, but I don't know, you know, how much better he is. And I know I talked to people that watched Alabama play day in and day out, and he's a strong safety.
Interesting. All right, I want to talk about another position some people have the Cowboys going after, and that's a defensive tackle. Now, the two guys that could be there, most people think Fletcher Cox is going to be off the board, are the big kid out of Memphis, Dontari Poe, and then you have Brockers, another guy. Who do you think the Cowboys like better, or have you heard anything about their preference between those two guys and whether or not both guys could play nose tackle in a 3-4 defense?
See, I don't know that they're looking so much for a nose tackle as they are for a defensive end, and Fletcher Cox would certainly give them a lot of position flex for the things he can do. He can play that 3-4 defensive end. He can probably play when you go to a four-man line as a defensive tackle on the nickel. And, you know, if every once in a while you needed to slide him inside to play nose tackle, give Jay Ratliff a blow, I think he can do that. So he's probably the most versatile of the three, and he's a pretty good pass rusher, not to mention a run stopper. But you're right. It's sounding like, well, the guy might not be there. Well, if you listen to Jason Garrett talk enough, he talks about the right kind of person, character, motors. Well, then that, to me, that eliminates Dontari Poe, because my understanding at Memphis, he didn't have a motor.
Right.
He chose when he was going to play and when he wouldn't play. And I don't think that Jason Garrett would put up with that. I don't know that they want a workout warrior. They want a guy that can play in the fall, not the spring. And so that would lead us to Brockers, and I think they would have a significant interest in him if they were at 14, stayed at 14, and he was available. Look, whatever they do, they need help up front. Everybody talks about the coverage. Well, if you got to cover forever, then you know, you're not going to find enough guys that can cover. You need pressure on the quarterback. I think the Giants are the prime example of what pressure on a quarterback can do. I think the Cowboys saw it firsthand, secondhand, thirdhand, and I think they understand that they've got to improve their front seven before they worry so much about a safety. So to me, a defensive end, outside linebacker, an inside linebacker who can put his hand on the ground and rush the quarterback, I still believe that's what they should do. Now, if they agree with me, you know, who knows? I guess we find out this evening.
And you mentioned the other position I want to touch on before we say goodbye, Mickey, and that's a pass rusher. The Cowboys did sign, or Anthony Spencer, rather, decided to sign his franchise tender a week ago, which means they have their bookend outside linebackers, at least for next season, in DeMarcus Ware and Anthony Spencer. But from the sound of it, you still think there's a good chance they go for an outside linebacker, or, you know, a nickel 4-3 defensive end here that can rush the passer? And if so, who are you hearing that they like that could be on the board at 14?
Well, the guys that likely will be there, Upshaw from Alabama, Ingram, if he slides a little bit. Now, neither of those guys are the prototype size of guys that can rush from the outside. They're a little bit short, a little bit with short arms, but for some reason they had a lot of production. So, you know, there's a couple of those guys that will be available there. I think an interesting guy, and I've certainly not heard this from them, but I've just kind of researched him, Dante Hightower of Alabama. I know he's an inside guy, but, you know, when Alabama went to their nickel four-man line, he put his hand on the ground as a pass-rushing defensive end. And if they have a guy that can give Spencer and DeMarcus Ware a blow here or there, and you kind of move them into different things that Rob Ryan loves to do, I think he would give them some versatility that first year while he's making the transition to the NFL. So where I started, John, is kind of where I guess I ended up. They got a lot of different things they can do with a lot of different versatile players. So I don't know that they've got their mind set up and just say, okay, this is absolutely the guy. All I know is three years ago, they decided that they didn't have enough money in the budget to pay a defensive end to re-sign Chris Canty, and I think they've rued the day letting him go. And now with the restructure of the rookie salary cap, especially in the first round, you can get one of those kind of guys and not have to pay him an arm and a leg to play that 3-4 defensive end spot.
Mickey, thanks a lot. Real quick before you say goodbye, I got to ask you to give me a name. Who do the Cowboys pick at 14?
I know he's not going to be there, but I would imagine the guy they would like, and if they were able to trade up a little, would be Fletcher Cox.
There we go. Mickey Spagnuolo, DallasCowboys.com. Always does an excellent job. Mickey, thanks a lot, and we'll touch base with you next week. We can break down the Cowboys draft.
Sounds good, John. Have a good time tonight.
Yeah, you too, Mickey. That's Mickey Spagnuolo, friend of the program. Always helps us out, does a great job. And now we go to the other team in the NFC East. He'll be picking right after the Dallas Cowboys. That's the Philadelphia Eagles, and we're joined by Dave Spadaro from Eagles.com. Dave, I'm sure you just heard the end of Mickey there. The Cowboys, really, Mark Barron might not be there, thinking maybe pass rusher, thinking maybe defensive tackle. Where do you think the Eagles are looking to go at number 15?
Well, it's interesting because I think that the hot name in the draft, at least you hear teams wanting to move into position to take Fletcher Cox, because he's the player that fits perfectly for what the Eagles really need. They need to be more stout in the middle of their defense. Acquiring D'Amico Ryans really helps at the middle linebacker position, but you've got a little bit of age at defensive tackle. You don't have that dominating player. There is the thought from draft analysts that Fletcher Cox is a dominating player. The Eagles have an extra second-round draft pick. Would they be the team that goes up to 5, 6, or 7 and makes that big move to get into position to take Cox? And that's one position, clearly. Obviously, when you trade Asante Samuel, you know, you've still got two starting cornerbacks with Nnamdi Asomugha, with Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, but the nickel cornerback position has been a question mark here. And then you look at depth, and there's really nothing proven behind the starters. So I think cornerback would be a position of interest as well. I certainly think, John, that it's going to be a defensive night for the Eagles in the first round. Where they go, what they do, I mean, they keep it very secretive, and they're always one of the more active teams in the league on draft weekend moving around. So I can't tell you that I have a good feel for what they want, but other than to say that they really could use another impact player on defense.
Well, assuming Fletcher Cox is off the board, which appears to be the case if the Eagles don't trade up, the other two defensive tackles are Poe and Brockers. Have you heard anything from the organization or from your research which guy you think would be a better fit in Philadelphia if they decide to go in that direction?
You know, when you have a defensive line coach like Jim Washburn, you want an explosive, up-the-field, powerful kind of defensive tackle, and Dontari Poe physically has all of those tools.
Right.
You know, he came out of nowhere, relatively speaking, at the combine. The Eagles have researched him extensively. They've liked what they've seen from him. The effort is there. Not a great scheme at Memphis. They think that he would thrive in the NFL in the right scheme, in the right system. I think this would be the right system for him. So if he's on the board and the Eagles stay at 15, which I think is a long shot, but if they stay at 15 and he's there and Fletcher Cox is gone and you're basically picking between Poe and Brockers, you'd probably go Poe. Better fit, more explosive. Eagles probably could get quite a bit of usage out of him. Just really beefing up the interior of a defense that gives up too much inside.
How big of a need, my question would be, is pass rush for the Eagles, you think?
Well, they had 50 sacks last year. 46 sacks came from the defensive line. Jason Babin, a Pro Bowl player. Trent Cole, a very good defensive end. They have this kid in his second year, Phillip Hunt, who came out of CFL, who they like a lot, who's put on some muscle this offseason. Brandon Graham, coming back from injury from 2 years ago, a former first-round draft pick, showed up in great shape at the offseason conditioning program. So I think on the outside, they're going to be okay. I think at defensive end, they've got a pretty five really solid players right now. Certainly, you don't bypass somebody that you have rated so highly, but from just a position of need, I don't think that's one of the issues on defense. They need help at linebacker on the outside. They've got to solve some safety issues, which is difficult because there's not a lot of safety prospects Jeremiah Bell is a possibility after the draft, a veteran who played in Miami. I think you look tonight at that front seven, you look at that front four, and you try to solve it there, unless you go cornerback and one of these talented players is around.
All right, Dave, I'm going to put you on the spot here. What do you think? Pick a name. What do the Eagles do at 15? Or you could even predict if they trade up and go after somebody.
Yeah, I think a trade-up is a very strong possibility. Again, they have that extra second-round pick acquired when they traded Kevin Cobb to the Cardinals last year. So I believe the Eagles will be a strong candidate to move up. But if they stay at 15 and, you know, Barron is off the board, and if, Cox is off the board, Gilmore is off the board, I would think Don Terry Poe would be a good pick for the Eagles right there.
Well, there you have it, Dave. We appreciate the time, and we'll catch up with you next week to break down what the Eagles did.
That sounds great, John. Thanks very much.
Hey, thanks a lot. That's Dave Spadaro from Eagles.com. Does a fantastic job, friend of the program. And there you have it, folks. Tried to give you as much of a breakdown today of the draft as you could. Om Young Masuk, Mickey Spagnuolo, Dave Spadaro, and, of course, Ross Tucker. Four different perspectives. Three guys covering teams, one guy that follows the draft in general. So some great perspective this morning on Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. Tomorrow morning, I want to get your reaction. So make sure you hit the phones tomorrow morning at 201-939-4513. We'll take your calls about the Giants' first-round pick. I'm also going to have Daniel Mulligan from NFLDraftBible.com come on. He joined us last week to kind of give you the draft insider's perspective on who the Giants took in the first round. It'll be a quick spot. We'll go to the calls right after that. So make sure you join us tomorrow on Giants.com for that. For all our guests, we thank them very much for joining us. My name is John Schmelk. We'll see you next time right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. By the way, tonight at 7 o'clock, a very special edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live with Paul Dottino and Lance Meadow. They'll be with you from 7 to 8. They're going to take your calls, talk a lot of NFL draft as well as the Giants get ready and the NFL really gets ready to kick off their biggest offseason event, the 2012 NFL Draft. So make sure you tune in again. 7 o'clock tonight from 7 to 8, Lance Meadow, Paul Dottino, right here talking NFL Draft. I'll probably make call in from Radio City. Nothing will be going on, but I'll have some relatively entertaining anecdote. At least I'll try to. And we'll do that. Thanks for joining us, everybody. And, of course, again, Big Blue Kickoff Live comes your way every weekday morning from 10 to 10:30 right here on Giants.com.